tonight, this morning, Michael Popenhagen. There was a word that Andy gave for him and his wife, Jen. I've known Michael and Jen now for about 12 years, and Michael and I have, even at a distance, have become pretty close and talked with each other and had some encouraging words for each other over the years. But I met him about 12 years ago, and he is a pastor, or was a pastor, at Radiant Church in Kalamazoo. How many remember Lee Cummings? He was here this summer, wrote the book Be Radiant. Some of you were here. But he came, and he's been his only worship leader for 17, 18 years, and been faithful. I tell you, and he's a great worship leader besides that, but he is faithful. Jen is faithful, 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 and God has really promoted them, whatever you want to call it, really set them in a place to this call, this point in their life, to pastor a church. They're planting Radiant Church in Jackson, Michigan, and we want to partner with them, and I wanted to have them come up and speak with you. So I want to show a quick video. We've gone long in worship this morning, so just stay tight. You're going to enjoy this message. I know we might be a little bit long today, but it will be worth it. So sit tight. Check out this video. I'll tell you a little bit about Mike and Jen and the call of God on their lives in Jackson. He's going to bring a great, great word, and I know it's going to encourage you in the purposes of God. Amen. Check this out.
Dallas, Texas, February 2010. And the speaker there began to say a prayer. And he said this. He said, God's going to speak to you. I'm going to count to three, and God's going to speak to you. And he counted to three, and he said, now just listen. And I heard on the inside of me this go, like, and it was a gushing right through my gut. And I just felt like this presence and this wave. And I knew in that moment, I didn't know what it would be, but I knew in that moment God was calling Jen and I to something different. So we spent the next year and a half praying, like, God, what's the next season for us? Where are you sending us to? And the thing that we came to is God's calling us to pastor. So we begin to travel all over Michigan to just pray about, like, Lord, are we taking over a church? Are we planting a church? And we tried to find cities. We went to Charlotte and Lansing, visited some places up north, some places south. And every place we went, some of them were, yeah, maybe. Some of them were like, no, we don't want to be here. And then Jeremy Brown, the pastor in Ann Arbor, Michigan of Radiant Church, said, have you thought about going to Jackson? And I said, well, I've actually not thought about Jackson. It's only not too far from where we live in Battle Creek, and that didn't seem like the place we wanted to be, but I said we'd go. So the week before we went, these guys at our church spoke a word over me and said, Mike, God's telling you to dream big and to use your imagination. So the next week, we drove to Jackson, Michigan. When we pulled into the town, it was like an easy, settling feeling. Every corner we turned, we're like, yeah, this could work. This feels like this might be God. And we would see things like, oh, that's cool, that's cool. We were just about to leave, and I told Jen, I want to see the downtown area first. So we stumbled upon it, found a place to park. And as I was parking, I was thinking about what that man said, told me to dream big and to use your imagination. And he had no idea what we were processing, what we were thinking, but I was thinking about that because I've been praying it for the whole year, like since at least the last 6 months up until that point, like, Lord, I need dreams, I need dreams. I'm thinking, dream big, use your imagination. And we pull over, we get out of the car, and there's music playing on the speaker system throughout the downtown. It's the Temptations. And they're saying, it's just my imagination running away with me. It's like a dream come true. And for me, it felt like stars were aligning. I'm like, there's no way this is a coincidence. I'm thinking these thoughts, I'm praying these prayers, this man's speaking it, the Temptations are singing it, the sun was shining, stars were aligning. It really felt like God was in the moment, and he was. I felt his presence. I didn't say anything to Jen. I grabbed her hand, we start walking. We're walking to the Temptations, and she says, Mike, why does it feel like we're in a movie? Does it feel like we're in a movie? I mean, it felt surreal, and she was feeling it too, and I knew, and I was like, no. That's the presence of God. We were being marked for this place. We're being marked for this town. We began to laugh because we knew Jackson was going to be our home. We knew this was going to be the place that we planted the church. We're so excited about what God is doing in our hearts for the city of Jackson. And we honestly can't wait till we're here. We've been in Jackson now. We just moved there 2 months ago in mid-August, and it's really been an incredible journey. I'll share a little bit about that in a minute, but every time I hear that story, I always feel like, man, people's just got to think that that's so weird that you get a word from the Lord by hearing the Temptations. It's, but it's really, really just amazing what God does when we listen and pay attention to him. And before I jump into that, let me just say this about this church. And the church that I've just left, we've been there for 17 years. We grew it from 17 people. It's over like 2,400 a weekend now. It's amazing to see what God does. And it's the presence of God that brings growth to a church. Not gimmicks, not persuasive words. The power of God being demonstrated among you. And you, that is in this house. And I've been to, yeah, it's here, yeah. And during worship, Andy gave me that word, and thank you for that word. I don't know if you're in here, but it's, yes, that here's what I was thinking. The Lord gave me a word for Tony. I'm going to share that in a minute. But before you're thinking, I'm thinking these thoughts. I'm standing here, and I'm thinking, can I give a word to individuals in a church that I'm not part of yet? And because a lot of churches, the rule is you give a general word for everybody, but never specifically per person. So, and then he starts talking to me. I'm like, well, they do it here, so this is great. So during worship, Tony, the Lord just impressed something on me for you, and very strong too. You are right where you need to be. Right. And that, and I'll say this, as a worship leader, you're further along in the Spirit than your age. More seasoned than your age as a worship leader. And I don't know how old you are, but I guess early 20s. And you lead like you've been leading for 15 years. It's very evident that the call of God is on you to be a worship leader. And I'll say this, when you sing, people feel God.
Yeah.
So that's a word for you. Take that, yeah. So that's awesome, man. Just so good to see what God is doing in this place. And you're a pastor. We've known each other, like he said, for 12 years. I remember the first time we met when Jen and I, we never knew we were going to pastor. I never thought I was going to be a pastor. I thought I'd be a worship leader for my whole life, that we'd stay at Radiant our whole life. So when God began to tell us that we're going to pastor a church, we're going to plant a church, that became, we had to process that. We had to process it pretty slow, and I had to overcome some insecurities. And still am, honestly. But this last winter, I was at a conference with your pastor, and I'm in there, and I'm asking him questions because he's a worship leader and a pastor, and so I'm going to be stepping in kind of that same role. And he just began to speak into me. And I don't think he knew he was doing it. It wasn't like, oh, this is what the Lord's saying to you, but just very general. But it was so encouraging. And he really just said something to me that just made me feel in that moment, I can do this. This is going to happen. This is really going to take place in my life. And I got in the car. We drove back home to Battle Creek. It was in Granville. And my wife was me. I shared with her what your pastor said to me. And she said, see, Mike, God is going to do it.
Yes.
So I want you to know that your pastor is an incredible man of God, and I love his friendship, and I love how real he is, and I like that that's your logo. I mean, your pastor has tattoos, and I brought dress shoes today, but he said I could wear what I want, so I put on the shoes that I really do like to wear, and it's because of you, like tattoos, earrings. I love it. I love everything you guys are doing, and so yes, but give it up for your pastor and your worship band. They're really incredible. Let's just say a quick prayer and we'll jump right into the message. Father, Lord, thank you for this house and what it's doing and the light that it's bearing to this city. God, I pray that they would increase in spirit. Lord, just increase in worship. God, increase in numbers and increase in generosity. Lord, that as they begin to work here, Lord, that this city is going to be changed because you planted them here in this place, Lord. Father, we pray that the message that's spoken this morning, God, that it would really be from you and no other way, God. Lord, we understand that as we hear a word, that we each hear it differently because you are unfolding that and giving revelation as words are being spoken. So I pray that you open our ears this morning. Open our hearts to hear what you want to say through this message, God. We give you all the honor and all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to talk about purpose this morning. Here's the one thing I want you to know about purpose. I'll have other points, but this is not part of the points, but it's the one thing. If you take any notes, this is what I want you to know, and I'll unpack what it looks like.
But purpose comes through obeying God. I was praying a couple weeks ago about speaking here, and Lord, what would you want me to say to the church in Traverse City? And the Lord said, I want you to talk about obedience. And I said, I remember thinking like, Lord, that's the one thing a new guy, you don't ever want to talk about obedience to new people. And but I feel like there's people here, there's someone here that needs to hear this word about walking in your purpose and your destiny and how that unfolds and plays out as we obey God. So we're going to talk about finding your purpose, discovering your what God has called you to do, walking out the things that God has called you to do, and it happens through our obedience to God. Amen. So mid-August, my wife and I, we pack up my whole family, everything. We've been living in the country forever, like just our whole marriage. We've been married 20 years in November, and yeah, we got three boys, 19, 16, 14-year-old, and they've lived their entire lives in Battle Creek, Michigan. I grew up in Battle Creek. That's where I've been my whole life. So for us to unplant and move to another city was just a big deal. And so I unpack, we're in this new city, and God is doing crazy things. And in the middle of it, I wish I could say, I just wish I could say that God just gave me an angel visitation. And I knew that I was going to pastor this city, and this church is going to be 4,000 people. And I wish I knew that. I just wish that God had unpacked it all at once. But he didn't, and he doesn't. That's not how God works. God unfolds it step by step, one step at a time. I never knew where I was going to be. I thought, honestly, if I'm going to be honest, when I was a kid, I thought I'm going to be a rock star. I'm going to move to Nashville, Tennessee, and that's what we're going to do. Of course, God had different plans, and I love what he has. But I think if most of us are honest, that's what we would say. We would say, I wish God would give me a blueprint for my life. I wish I knew what the next 3 years, if I knew. So God may be giving you dreams. God may be putting things, ideas in your heart, creative things on you, and you're thinking, I don't know if that's God. But if God would show me the next 3 years, then I'd do it. But that's not how God does it. Like, he does it one step at a time. I always said this about my life. Eugene Peterson said this. He's the guy that wrote the Message translation. He said, each step is an arrival. I love that. Like, each step is from it's so true. Early in our marriage, like young, we got married at 19 years old. We were very young. So marriage got rocky. But we began to seek God. And we knew. We wasn't in church, but we knew we should go to church. Now, I didn't know in that moment when I said, here's how we're going to fix this. We're going to go to church. I didn't know how God would heal our marriage. I didn't know what God was going to do. I just knew, go to church. That's what I was sensing. It was the voice of God. Go to church. I kept hearing it. I'd pray about my marriage like, oh, Lord, I don't want this to end. I don't want this to be done because I was going to divorce my wife. And I just kept saying, I kept going to church. So I took this step in church. I arrived. My marriage gets healed. A door opens, and they say, what do you do? I said, well, I'm a musician, but I'd love to help out. So God puts me in this role of leading worship, and I step into that. But I don't know. God didn't tell me when my marriage is falling apart, hey, hold this together because you're going to be a pastor one day. He didn't say that. Like, that's not what he does. So I step into that role, and then I serve 17 years in this spot, long obedience. A long time to stay in one place. I've seen worship pastors jump around every 2 years from church to church. Long obedience. So I step into this role for 17 years. And then God says, I want you to pastor. I'm like, what? Lord, are you for real? And so I step into this role. I'm brand new. Just stepping into it, just arriving into it. It's a lot like having your first kid. If you've never planted a church, you're scared to death. You don't know how am I going to take care of this thing. And but you just know when you have that baby, God's going to show you how to be a mom. God's going to show you how to be a dad. God's going to show you. Each step is an arrival. And usually, and I don't see it in the Bible, I don't think I know any story in the Bible where God completely unpacks how your purpose happens. He only shows you what, and you step into it. So we're going to look at a story together, In Judges chapter 6, you can turn here. This is the story of Gideon. We're going to look at the front end of the story. Now, here's what I want you to know about this story is this time in Israel's history, they are in bondage, in slavery to the Midianites because of their sin. They've rejected God. They've abandoned God. And because of that, the blessing of God has come off the nation. And now they're under the bondage of the Midianites. And they've been there for 7 years. Now, the Israelites, they're farmers. They're agricultural. So they're planting seeds. And every harvest, they get a harvest. They get their wheat. They get their cattle. The Midianites come, and they take their harvest. So much that they're close to starving. So Israel starts hiding in caves, starts hiding in wells, starts hiding in wine press. They just hide every harvest because they know the Midianites are going to come, take their harvest, and take their cattle. And this is where we find Gideon. It's harvest time. And Gideon, he's a farmer. His family is, the Bible says, is the smallest clan in his tribe. And he says that he's the smallest person in the whole clan. So he, in his eyes, is a very insignificant man. And he's a farmer. I love this. And this is why I want to read this story, because Gideon comes across as an average guy. And all of us in this room, there's none of us that are more significant than the other. We're all average. So God chooses a farmer to save the nation of Israel. He chooses the average Joe, the ordinary guy, the guy probably with tattoos, probably wears a big old hat, probably has stained hands, and this is the guy that God chooses to save Israel, because Israel is praying, save us. Okay, Lord, we realize our sin, please save us. God's answer is Gideon, and Gideon steps into his purpose, and that's what we're going to look at this story in Judges chapter 6, starting with verse 11. Reading out of the NIV. The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak of Ophrah that belonged to Josiah the Abzurite, when his son Gideon was threshing wheat in the winepress to keep him from the Midianites, when the angel of the Lord appeared to him. So the first thing I want you to see is he's threshing wheat. The first thing we need to understand about purpose in our life, that purpose is right now. And it comes right in the middle of doing ordinary life. He's threshing wheat. He's a farmer. He's gathered a harvest. He's hiding in a wine press. He's not, and you know, I've heard messages about like his fear and he shouldn't have been afraid, but the reality is like the whole nation was hiding. Gideon wasn't doing anything that anyone else was doing. He was protecting his family. It's really what that was about, so his family would not starve. In the middle of us fighting our battles, fighting off the enemies, pushing back in our wine press, threshing wheat, doing life, taking our kids to school, going to work, doing all the activities we are involved in, that's where your purpose starts. This is when God shows up in the middle of Gideon's life, because he's faithful with the task that God has given him, which is simply doing his job, threshing wheat, taking care of his family. So Gideon was threshing wheat in the wine press to keep it from the Midianites, when the angel of the Lord appeared to him. He said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." So this angel shows up and says, "Gideon, God's with you, and you're mighty." In the middle of him doing life, he gets a word from a God, and it's about identity. This is what he says to him: "You're mighty." Now look at Gideon's response. "Pardon me, my Lord, but if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian." The Lord turned to him and said, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?" So Gideon here, he's making excuses. He hears God say, "I'm with you, and you're mighty. You're about ready to win a battle here, bud." And he says, "Whoa, whoa, wait a minute. Why has all this happened? Where are our God's wonders? The Lord has abandoned us." Gideon is like rattling off the excuses. So the first thing we need to know is purpose comes in the middle of ordinary life. Purpose is right now. We all are walking in our purpose. We may not be fully obeying it, but we're in it. And we'll get there if we listen to the voice of God. If we listen to God. The next thing is, don't make excuses. Let's push past the excuses. That's the next point I want to make. Make no excuses. Don't look at your limitations. Don't look at your inadequacy. Don't look at the fear of provision. Those are not the things that we look at. Because God says, go in the strength you have. And isn't it interesting that God doesn't actually give Gideon an answer? Because Gideon's saying, where's God's wonders? Why has God abandoned us? Why are we in this situation? Why is my marriage falling apart? Why am I losing my job? Why are my kids behaving this way? Like, why is my family a mess? Like, we got all these things. And in the middle of it, God doesn't say, well, this is why. He doesn't answer Gideon's question. He says, go in the strength you have. Am I not sending you? Go in the strength you have. You're going to say, so here's what I want, the point I want to make is, Jesus said this. He said, do not worry about your life. But seek first the kingdom of God. But if we're honest, we're just like Gideon. I'm like Gideon. I've had these prayers that Gideon has said to God, like, God, why is this not working? I thought you said this. I've heard other pastors preach these messages. I've heard great men of God do this, this, and this, and I don't see it. Where are all the wonders that the ancestors, the people who've gone before me have told us about? Why is that not happening? Rarely does God ever answer those kind of questions. Because Jesus said, don't seek solutions. Don't seek the answer to problems. Don't try to figure this thing out, Mike. Don't try to figure this out, Gideon. Here's what you need to know. Go in the strength you have. Which means you don't have to be stronger than the next guy. You don't have to compare yourself to a guy who's weaker than you. Go with what God has given you. What has God placed in your life? What is the strength that you have? Go in that. And I've called you to save Israel. So God gives him an identity and gives him a call, but he doesn't tell him how, and he doesn't answer his questions. I actually like that about this story, because we get this impression. Of course, we're trained, we grow up in a nation where they tell us you can be anything you want to be. Dream the biggest dreams you want to do. Get all the stuff that you can get, and it's all a big lie because none of it brings fulfillment. But God says one thing, people's lives start getting changed, marriages start getting whole, we start feeling satisfied, we get a sense of fulfillment from the things that He calls us into, because what people really long for is a relationship with God, and they long to hear the voice of God, and they long to be walking in the will of God, and then all of a sudden, their life is balanced, and that's really the result of happiness, yes. Is God. Yes. So Gideon is hearing God, and God is saying, look, don't worry about what your ancestors said. Don't worry about the situation that's going around you. Here's what you need to know. Go. Go. Go in the strength that you have. Stop making excuses, Gideon. So Gideon, in verse 15, says, pardon me, my Lord. So God's saying, you're mighty. And he says, whoa, wait a minute. So God says, go in the strength you have. And again, he says, whoa, wait. Hold on, Lord. How can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I'm the least in my family. He's giving excuses, and he's saying, God, this is how I see me. I don't feel like I can do it. You picked the right guy. How is this true? How can this be? This is what I've experienced in my own life. I'm constantly trying to figure out, God, how are you going to do this? What's going to happen? How are you going to fix this mess we're in? Don't you understand, God? They held me back in kindergarten for being shy. It's true. I sat there in gym class holding the ball while all the other kids were running around me, and I'm scared to death. And you're telling me I'm going to pastor? You're telling me I'm going to sing in front of people? You got the wrong man. You got the wrong guy for this job. No. He doesn't. And God has called you. He's not found the wrong person. He's found the right person. But I get it. I get it. I'm with you. I've been there. Like, I'm with Gideon on this. I'm not bashing Gideon. That's why I chose him for this story. Like, I see Gideon as a man who struggled with insecurity but still obeyed. And that, for me, that brings hope. So Gideon says this. He says, the Lord responds. And again, he doesn't answer his question. He just says the same thing he said at the beginning. I'll be with you. You will strike down all the Midianites, leaving none alive. God assigns him an impossible task. And he just says, I'm not going to tell you how. Because he said, Lord, how can I save Israel? God doesn't answer that question. He just says, all you need to know, Gideon, is I'm with you. And if you'll obey, you'll see how. I'm not sure what, I know this is in the Old Testament, but when they were talking about rebuilding the temple, there was this prophecy about the temple being rebuilt. And it says, there's a question in the Bible, how will you know this will happen? And they say, well, you'll know when it's done. It's basically, and I love that. Like, God gives us a reason. And we'll say, well, what's the sign, God? Oh, well, you'll know when it's all done that it happened. There is no sign. You're just going to walk through it and you're going to see it in the end. So Gideon replied, if now I found favor in your eyes. So it's like dawning on him in this moment. Oh, yeah, wait a minute. I think this may be an angel. I think this may be God saying something to us. He said, now if I found favor in your eyes, give me a sign that it's really you talking to me. Have you ever had that? Like, I think God just talked to me. And you're not sure, but you wonder, like, was that the Lord? Like, it's dawning on him, and you're not sure. So, and he's saying this, like, oh, if this is you, God, I need a sign here. You know, we bash Gideon for asking for a sign, for putting out a fleece, but honestly, we do it. And this is what we do. God, would you give me confirmation?
Yeah.
And he does, but it's not enough. I've like planting this church, I've asked for lots of confirmations, and God has given us words and given us dreams and given us a sense and given us direction and given us his voice. And every time I'm like, can you confirm that? Can you just make sure that that's going to happen? Like, the reality is we doubt. But we really know deep down, this is God. This is the Lord. Now, if I found favor in your eyes, give me a sign that it's really you. Confirm it, Lord. Please do not go away until I come back and bring an offering and set it before you. And the Lord said, I will wait until you return. This should be a great encouragement to us. This is my favorite part of the story, is that God says, I'll wait. This shows two things about God, is that God is patient with us, and that it really was the Lord. Like, if you need confirmation, Gideon, I'll wait. And if you need confirmation from the Lord, he'll wait on you. He's a gracious God. I love it that God's not saying, man, Gideon, figure this out. Come on, I'm an angel. You didn't believe that? He waits. The waiting of God is the grace of God. This brings me to my last point. So the first point is the purpose is right now. It begins right now. Two, we don't make excuses, even though we do, but we got to get beyond them. And three, you have to decide to believe God. You have to eventually come to the place where you say, yes, this is the Lord. So Gideon goes, prepares an offering, brings it to the angel. The angel says, set it here. He puts a staff on this offering, consumes it, disappears. The angel's gone. Gideon in that moment knows this was God, and he decides that, yes, this was God speaking to me. Yes, that God was with him. He says, yes, God said I'm a mighty warrior. Yes, God said I'm going to send you. Yes, God said I'm going to save Israel. He says yes. He isn't fully convinced of it, but he's saying yes, so he takes the next thing that God tells him, he obeys. And then the thing after that, he obeys again. And the thing after that, he obeys again, and then before you know it, all his obedience, he's walking out his purpose. God's not telling him how the battle's happening. He's just saying, go here, go to the river, go here, go to the enemy's camp, go here. And Gideon just listens to God and walks along, and this is like happening. That's how it is with our purpose with God. We don't fully understand it, fully comprehend it. We just walk it out. And then we are in the will of God and the purposes of God. I want to give you three things about obedience. If you want to know your purpose, ask, what's God saying? And am I listening? Am I hearing it? Am I responding? And will I walk in it? Will I obey? Here's three things we see happening from Gideon, from his obedience. One is that blessing follows obedience. A nation saved. He's rewarded financially. I mean, there is blessing in Gideon's life because he obeyed God. Here's the thing. Like, I believe if Gideon would have said no, God would have found the guy that will obey. He'd have moved to the person that says yes. The second one is freedom follows obedience. People get free. When we say obey, when we say yes and obey God, freedom comes to our lives. When Gideon is hearing you're a mighty warrior, he's becoming free. He might not believe it, but just hearing the voice of God. When God talks to us about our identity, again, God wasn't talking about problems. He just says who Gideon is. God believes something about all of us. And if we'll say, God, how do you see me? That'll bring more freedom for you than you figuring out your problem, is the voice of God. Blessing follows obedience. Freedom follows obedience. And influence follows obedience. When we obey God, God will give you influence. Judges 8:22, the people said to Gideon, be our ruler. You've done this. You've obeyed God. We see it now. First, you know, at the beginning of the story, they wanted to kill him. They wanted to kill Gideon. Now, after obeying God, he has influence with the nation. So, let's do this. Let's bow our heads. I wonder if you're here and you don't have a relationship with Jesus and you're hearing this message. You're hearing, sensing God. Your first step to purpose is saying yes to Jesus. And this is how you know he's speaking to you right now. You feel it swirling in your gut. You feel like something rising. You feel him. You're being pulled in your heart. And if that's you this morning, I want to say a prayer for you. I'm not going to call you forward, but just say a prayer for you. Is there anyone here who would like to take the next step in their faith and say yes to Jesus? Okay, everyone's saved. Let's do this. Next thing, let's let God speak to us for a minute. Ask the Lord, is there anything right in front of me that I'm missing? Because God showed up in the middle of Gideon's doing. What's going on in your life that God can show up right now? And another way to ask this is, Lord, what are you saying? And let's listen. So ask that question, Lord, what do you want to say to me this morning? You'll get a word. You'll see an image. You'll have a sense. You'll see a situation. And that's how God is speaking. Just so I can have a sense what God's doing. God is ministering to anybody. Would you raise your hands? We can just see that. Okay, thank you. Thank you. Father, you see these hands. You're speaking in this room this morning. Lord, let it be. Let it happen. The word of the Lord will not return void. It will not be empty. So what you're saying on this day is going to happen. We don't know how, but we trust and we say yes to you this morning, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
Amen. That was awesome.